Joining us now is State Senator Catherine Pugh. She is
mayor-to-be.
Represents my district and always looks fabulous and is here also in D.C. in the Congressional Black Caucus. Welcome, Senator Pugh.
Thank you, my dear. How are you?
One of you know, I got my good hair on today. I'm trying to behave.
Senator, what?
Look, I was going to say something to that, but I won't do it.
We really all want hair. It doesn't feel like it, right, because you're not in the studio.
Senator, describe the atmosphere from your perspective. I mean, given the fact that this is the last CBC that the President of the United States will be a part of, what are your thoughts?
Well, let me just say, one of the things that we were noting as we were walking over were the number of young people that are here. And I just left the voter education workshop, which I was participating in, voter protection. And one of the things I talked about was the need for us to be more inclusive of our young people. So to see so many young people walking throughout this venue and all over the Congressional Black Caucus weekend, their involvement, I think is really important. It speaks well for the future of our leadership, of our cities, our states, and this nation. And so I think it's a joyous atmosphere, and I think at the same time, this is the last time that we will hear on Saturday night President Barack Obama speak before the Congressional Black Caucus dinner. And so I think you'll probably hear, you'll see tears and you'll see smiles and you'll see folks grateful for his leadership.
One more follow-up. I mean, you just mentioned young people and the energy of the young people in the hall today. In your mind, from a national perspective, how can the Democratic Party begin to engage more millennials and get them more excited, especially specifically about this presidential election that's coming up? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think we have much of a choice, to be honest with you, because the other choice is against everything that is of value for our communities and our nation. The discriminatory practices that we talk about, voter protection, making sure that our cities are whole, don't go along with the other candidates' platform. And so when you talk about a platform of inclusion and focusing in on cities and what has to happen in our nation, and then just if we think about nothing else, that the possibility of two Supreme Court justices being appointed by the next president is enough for everybody who is asleep to wake up. Because, you know, we are still dealing with issues around voter protection. We're still not seeing the monies funnel into our school systems like they need to. You know, in Baltimore, we have 66 schools that don't have air conditioning, and the city itself, by itself, can't afford to do it. We have neighborhoods that have crumbled, but I mean, we have some great things going on in Baltimore, but we need the assistance of a president that understands the values of our communities.
So in terms of the president, the president has commuted more sentences than any president in recent memory. He's done a lot on the federal level to change what's going on in our criminal justice system. But the fact remains that a lot of what's going on in criminal justice and with mass incarceration happens on the state level. And so how do we address on a state level what is happening with mass incarceration with black people in America?
Well, if you're aware of what's going on in Maryland, you would know that in this last session, even though Baltimore City itself is under the DOJ report and will have some things that they must do to fix it, as the president of the National Black Caucus of State Legislators nationwide, I can tell you that criminal justice reform is high on our list. I happen to have co-chaired criminal justice reform for the state of Maryland, where we implemented 23 different new laws to focus on just making sure that we have a better system as it relates to police and their interactions with our communities. And we'll be coming back again this session to look at that. But, you know, criminal justice is not just the issue in our community, it's also the returning citizens. Just this past session, 40,000 returning citizens in the state of Maryland got back their right to vote. And so now we must encourage them to go to the voting booth. But when we talk about them as well, we must also address their issues. And Maryland, for example, is tied for 38 with four other states in the nation is one of the worst states to come home to, because we don't allow folks who have drug addiction issues, who go inside of our institutions, drug addicted, come back out drug addicted to get food stamps unless they can pee in the cup. We don't provide the kind of housing needs they obviously need. You can look on the streets of almost any corner of any city in this nation, and you will see folks popping up all over our urban environments where we are suffering from dealing with the problems that they have, you know, because we want to make urban environments the place where we take care of everybody's problems in the state, whether it is drug addiction, homelessness, education, housing. But these are issues that must be addressed as we move forward.
Senator Pierre, I know we don't have you for long because you've got some other workshops to do, but other than the tears and the emotion of the symbolism of it, what do you think specifically? You know, I find that the president shocks us sometimes, and he's all the way real like we almost were when we started.
Right.
What do you think, because this, what do you think he's going to leave them with? What is he going to charge them to do in his absence in this final address, you think?
To continue his agenda. National health care must continue in this nation. We have more people who are now covered than ever before. And children are covered more than ever before. And the health of our nation, the fiscal health of every individual is important. So I know that he will implore us to continue to do that. And as he has pardoned, as was stated earlier by Solomon, more individuals in this nation than any other president, all the presidents put together in our history. So I think that message says that we must do right by African-American males specifically, because as you well know, just looking at the Maryland DOJ report, that we have so many individuals who've been unjustly incarcerated for decades. And so we must do right as a nation by these individuals to get them back up on their feet, to help them to become educated, to make sure that their needs are met as well as every other individual in our communities.
Quick follow-up on the DOJ report. You mentioned it twice. What was your response? I mean, you have an election coming up in November. If you triumph over your Republican
opponent,
thank you. Then you will be charged, amongst other things, dealing with the substance of that DOJ report and the consent decree that comes afterwards. What are your thoughts about that?
That we will abide by the consent decree. That we will comply. And some of the things that are in the DOJ report, we're already doing. Body cameras on all of our officers, cameras inside of the vans, looking at how do we increase the participation of officers living in our city, putting police officers on trial review boards. We will do those things. There is an issue in terms of the protection by the FOP as it relates to using that as a collective bargaining right. But we believe that the right should belong to the citizens of Baltimore. And so we will go back to Annapolis making that request.
Very good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that you took the time with us. You always make time for us, though. You're good
to us. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank
you for the opportunity.
Thank you.